Well, the trip to Tennessee was every bit the vacation I was looking for. We had a great time. But with every vacation, it's always good to be back. Whenever traveling for an extended period of time, I'm reminded of all the packing that is involved. And to be honest, that's not something I'm very good at. I usually wait to the last minute. Throw a couple kids into the mix, and that means even more packing. Whenever you go somewhere, you want to make sure you have everything you need, right? And that you are prepared as best you can for whatever lies ahead. Traveling always requires preparation and taking things with you. There's just no way around it unless you were one of the 72 men appointed by Christ that we read about in Luke's gospel. For them, traveling was a different story, wasn't it? Jesus tells them, take with you no knapsack, no money bags, not even sandals. No checkbooks, credit cards, no luggage. Instead of lugging around provisions, these men would be forced to rely upon the love and care of others. In other words, they would be forced to rely upon the love and care of a benevolent and gracious God who gives us our daily bread and who is concerned and always aware of our needs. These 72 men appointed by Christ were going out without supplies, yes. And it also gets even scarier, friends, when Jesus warns them, I'm sending you out as a lamb in the midst of wolves. They would be surrounded by enemies of the gospel. And all they would have with them is their bodies and the holy word of God. That is it. Their mission was simple, to preach. They were to preach the word of God, specifically the peace of God that comes from none other than his only begotten son, this Jesus of Nazareth. Whenever they arrived to a house, they were told to say, peace be unto this house. Now, some of you might be wondering, how could these men, flesh and blood sinners, no doubt, how could these men bestow real, true, actual peace? The answer to that is simply, these men were speaking a special message in that they were speaking the word of God. And friends, please remember, when God's word is present, that means Christ is present. Remember what John says in the opening chapter of his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's how John begins his gospel. And then a little ways down, he says this, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In those passages, we behold the mystery of the Trinity, yes, but we also see that God and his word, friends, cannot be separated. Where the word is, there is God. Where the word is, there is Christ. And so it should not surprise us to see that as these men spoke, Christ was with them. When these men said, peace be unto this house, it was the same as if Christ himself was there saying, peace be to this house. In verse 16 of today's gospel lesson, Jesus even tells them, the one who hears you, hears me. The one who rejects you, rejects me. And the one who rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. There was a lot riding on this message spoken by the 72. You reject the message, you reject Christ. You reject the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You reject the words from these ambassadors of Jesus, and you reject God himself. Now, this text in Luke's gospel, it is not only about the 72 ambassadors of Jesus, no. We see characteristics in this text that are indicative of the holy Christian church, the communion of saints scattered throughout the world. The Christian, whether you realize it or not, is totally dependent upon the love, benevolence, care, and provision of our Lord and our God, just like the 72 men sent out into the harvest. It doesn't matter whether or not you have an abundance of possessions. Not a day goes by when we are not dependent, friends, on what our Heavenly Father gives us. And since he is gracious, since he is love, since he is kind, since he has forgiven all for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, who poured out his blood to make you his own, friends, being dependent upon God is a great place to be. No need to worry, no need to fear. But even more than that, not only do we receive from God all which we need in support of our bodies and our lives, but the church too has been entrusted with the task of preaching the word of God. The 72 were sent out to preach. The church today has been charged to preach, not just anything, but God's word. The church has been charged to bring the word to sinners, to preach and teach all which Jesus has commanded us. And yes, even in a world marked by great suffering, calamity, sickness, death, we have all we need. By possessing the living, active, true word of God. No gimmicks, no charades, no theatrics. No opinions and wisdom of men create faith, but the living, powerful word of God creates faith just like it makes lands and oceans, mountains and heavens. God's word is a living and active word that does not return void, friends, even when it is coming out of the mouths of one of his servants. And so when these men said, "Peace be to this house," you could trust and know that indeed God's peace was upon this house. And let me be clear. The peace I'm talking about is not a peace that the world can give you. But this is a peace you have from God by being reconciled to him. It's a peace you have by your sins not being held and counted against you. And that means even your most vile, secret, shameful sins that even your closest neighbor may not know about, those sins too, richly atoned for by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who on the cross of Calvary willingly absorbs the wrath of the Father to redeem you, to pay for your transgressions, to make you his child. And so it is, God's peace belongs to you all for the sake of Jesus. All of this wrapped up in those words, "Peace be to this house." Now I want to underscore too what that means for you here and now. We've all heard it, those who teach that by believing in Christ you're going to have an easier life. There are those who do teach that if you have faith, abundant wealth is around the corner. Just name it, claim it, and you will be yours. And there are even those who teach over and above the word of God that if you just have enough faith, God will heal you of all your sicknesses and all your diseases. There have been times when I've been in a hospital visiting someone who is sick and on the verge of death where I really wish I could make them the promise that, hey, all you got to do is believe and God will heal you and you will be on your feet tomorrow. I'm sure many of you feel the same way, wishing you too could make such a promise. As a reminder, friends, Scripture, God's holy word, never promises us that we will see tomorrow. The truth is, death can strike anyone at any time, Christian or not. Even our own experiences teach us that. When someone is sick, on the verge of death, it could be God's will that their time here is up. Or it could be God's will that that person be healed and live to serve another day. For the Christian, for God's child baptized in Christ, we can be bold and pray the desires of our heart while also praying what our Lord Jesus has told us to pray, "Lord, let thy will be done." Our Lord Jesus is very clear, in this world you will experience trouble, you will have calamity, you will face sickness, even death, and friends, please remember, even the Son of God tasted death on a cross. When the 72 are sent out into the harvest, Jesus doesn't tell them it's going to be a picnic, don't worry about it, everything's going to be fine. No, he tells them, you're going to go out and be a lamb in the midst of wolves. They were like fluffy, harmless, dumb little sheep, surrounded by a pack of ravenous, clever wolves who always hunt in packs. In other words, from an earthly standpoint, the odds are not exactly in our favor, and the enemies will come at you with everything they have. I said earlier the Holy Christian Church exhibits characteristics that we see here with these 72 sent out by Christ. And another one of those characteristics is, like them, Christian, we too are like lambs in the midst of wolves. The church is like a sheep, surrounded by her enemies, foaming at the mouth, drooling to sink their teeth into the blood of the lamb. The wolves are licking their chops. They are around. Do not be afraid when you face trials and tribulations. Do not be surprised when you undergo suffering and calamity. When temptations befall you, temptations of the flesh, the world, and the evil one, they are powerful. And they are very good at reminding us we are indeed like sheep being led to the slaughter. And what do we have to defend ourselves with? On our own. By ourselves, we have nothing. But Christ indeed has and is everything. Our refuge is not our own minds, our intellects, our bodies, but our refuge is immovable. And our rock is our Lord and our God. From our sins, we find only death and condemnation. From Christ, we have his rich, abundant grace, mercy, forgiveness, and life everlasting. The 72 make it back in one piece, don't they? They were protected and they come back, and in a gleeful, we're so awesome sort of way, they say, Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name. No surprise, Jesus had given them authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and the power of the enemy. However, that was not the reason for them to rejoice. Jesus knows Satan's game is up. He knows the ruler of this age is cast out. He knows Satan has fallen and will not overcome his church. But what he tells the 72 to rejoice over, this is very, very important. It's the same thing he tells us to rejoice over, and that is, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Rejoice, your name is written in heaven. How so? Well, there's another lamb in the text, isn't there? A lamb without spot and blemish. A lamb capable of taking on the sins of creation upon his body. There is another lamb in this reading, Christian, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world by his sacrificial death. That's why your names are written in heaven, because of the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, who lays down his life on the altar of his cross, spilling his blood in order to make you his own for eternity. That's where this text ends for today. Rejoice, because your name is written in heaven, written in the blood of Jesus. His atoning work has done it. His atoning work has opened up for you God's heavenly courts. Everlasting paradise, a resurrection of the body, the forgiveness of your sins here and now. Yours, friends, because of God's saving work in Jesus Christ. And this is why we rejoice all day, every day. This is why when it seems as if the enemies of God are getting the upper hand, when it seems as if calamity and suffering, sickness, disease, and death, and all those symptoms of sin plaguing this world are about to crush us, we can rejoice in confidence, knowing what God has declared for all of his children baptized into Christ, and that is rejoice. Do not be afraid. Your name is written in heaven. And so because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his resurrection from the dead, we can live now in boldness and confidence, knowing out of God's grace we live forgiven and justified. We live righteous and holy in Christ. And by his grace, we can rest in peace knowing our names are written in heaven. Rejoice, Christian. And may God's peace be for you now and until life forevermore. Amen.